We're listening to music from Chinglish, composed by Jana Crenshaw. On this stage and studio, we're getting a preview of Tony Award-winning playwright David Henry Hwang's play Chinglish. It's opening at Portland Center Stage soon and running till February 9th. We'll be talking with director Maya Drollis and actors Tina Chilip and Peter O'Connor. We'll hear about what it's like to work on a bilingual Chinese-English play and about the cultural and language differences in this comedy about international relations. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me in the studio are director Maya Drollis. Good morning.
Good morning.
And actors Tina Chilip. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And Peter O'Connor.
Hi.
Nice to see you. You're all from Portland Center Stage's Chinglish, which was tremendous. It's a great play by David Henry Hwang, and it's a fantastic production. I had a chance to see the preview, one of the previews, and I just want to say welcome to Stage and Studio.
It was great.
It's great to have you here. Chinglish is a bilingual play with both English and Mandarin Chinese, and it's about an American businessman played by Peter who travels to China hoping that local officials will hire his company to create English signs. And the play isn't only about differences in language and culture, it's also a complicated love story between the businessman and the vice minister of culture played by Tina. So I have to say officially, it's a great production. So kudos to all of you and everybody who's in the production and to PCS for Portland Center Stage for putting this on. It's just tremendous. May, you really put together a seamless production. I mean, for a preview especially, I couldn't even tell. It felt like opening night to me. All the actors were outstanding and the production design elements all worked together. Now, this isn't the first time you've directed one of Hwang's plays. Right? You've directed David Henry Hwang before with The Dance in the Railroad.
That's correct.
So what distinguishes a David Henry Hwang play?
I think that his work is so precise in the language. He is such a comic genius, and he does that just knowing the idiosyncrasies in human nature, and he's able to find the funny in any kind of situation.
In really intense, dramatic situations.
High stakes, deeply complicated situations. His language is so precise in the way he uses it. He can find the language. So I think even in Dance on the Railroad, which was a very, very different piece.
And it was an earlier work, too.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One of his first plays. I like what you said about precise and conciseness, because he writes cleanly, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
You know?
Yes.
And everything that a character hopefully needs, we'll ask the actors, but it seems like everything a character might need is right there in even a simple line.
Yes, actually, Peter actually made a really great discovery. He has several lines that actually repeat. And one day in rehearsal, he came up and said, "Oh, I actually understand why it repeats so much. It's because this is a situation that that Daniel Kavanaugh is in right now, and he has to present himself in a certain way." So even the minutia of tiny little words that were hard to memorize.
Do you remember that, Daniel? Do you remember?
I do.
I mean, I said your character name, Peter.
That's okay. That's all right. That's happening a lot around the theater.
I know.
We have another actor playing.
Because you're so Daniel.
Yeah. Okay. I do remember that. It had to do with presenting who I am and what I do, my company, and the nuances between whether it was a family-owned firm, whether it was a family-run firm, whether it was started by my great-great-grandfather.
Those are hard to memorize.
I need a reason to say them, and the moment May is referring to was, I said, "Oh, I get it. He's talking to a British person here, a business consultant. So he's presenting himself in one way. Now he's presenting himself to the Chinese, and they're, you know, I figured, you know, they have family values. They value things over time. So let's reference my great grandfather. So it's very, very specific what David's doing.
So he's making adjustments. The character was making adjustments for the culture that he thought he was in.
Correct.
Yeah, I love that. That's so subtle. That's so subtle that you found that, too.
Well, another actor may have found it a lot sooner, but I'm glad I found it at all.
Well, you know, I love that it pokes fun of a lot of different cultural things. But, you know, it starts off with the language. So what's you guys' definition of Chinglish? How about you, May?
Definition of Chinglish?
Yeah. What does Chinglish mean?
I think in American usage, it is the, I guess, the amalgamation of, or the misuse, actually, of, and the mistranslation of Mandarin into English. And so I think that's how we use it here in the U.S. But I do think that that Chinglish is actually so much more. We opened this discussion up for the cast, and it's not only just about the misinterpretation. You know, you see a lot of, when I was in China, actually, I saw a lot of Chinglish, you know, a lot of misinterpretation, funny translations of signs everywhere that I went. But it actually becomes so much more than that, because the mistranslation actually gives you a window into how the Chinese mind and the language works. And so then it becomes much deeper, and that's where the play really explores and thrives.
The signs are funny to English speakers, but they're almost poetic too. The translations are almost poetic and in a lot of imagery to it.
Yes. I mean, there's a funny Chinglish sign that it's in front of a state park, and it says, "Please, the grass is sleeping."
Oh, which I think is beautiful.
Which is,
I kind of want to see more signs like that, actually.
Right.
Because it makes you really consider the grass more than just keep off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I wonder, like in China too, if, I don't know, you recently went there, but do they call the signs that, you know, the characters that you might see in Chinese in America, maybe that's English, you know? I don't know if they have the reverse of that or not. And I always think of like tattoos that people get and I go, does it really say what people think it says? You know?
Well, there is a funny in-joke in the play. She's character, Tina's character, actually says, there are T-shirts that are translated, "I am pervert."
Oh, my. Yes,
and,
that's right.
Actually, funnily enough, when I was working at the Public Theater in New York, and David's play, Yellowface, was being done there. And so the company management team had actually created these T-shirts, you know, with a funny line from the play. And it had the translation in Mandarin. And one of the people that worked on the artistic staff at the Public also spoke Mandarin and said, "You guys shouldn't wear that shirt. It actually says, 'I am pervert.'"
Well, there you go. There you go. And it happens. It happens. I'm Dimay Roberts. You're listening to Stage and Studio. We're talking about Chinglish with director Maya Drollis. And here with her are actors Tina Chillip and Peter O'Connor. And Chinglish by David Henry Wong is in previews this week. And it opens Friday, January 17th, and runs through February 9th in Portland at Portland Center Stage. We briefly said that you went to China. What was that trip like for you? Because I read your blog post, and it was just like you, it felt like you just had this roller coaster ride when you were there the entire time.
I did. I felt a little like Alice in Wonderland coming into this strange world. I wanted to give myself the experience of Daniel Kavanagh, which is just coming into a country, not really knowing anything about the language, the social mores, and just diving into that and experiencing it firsthand. And so I did really dumb things, like take the bus by myself, trying to
navigate
and explore the city without having any language skills.
Yeah. That was adventurous, wasn't
it? Yes, yes, yes.
And did you obviously survived that.
I did survive. I had a lot of stories to tell.
Well, I'd like to bring Tina and Peter into this conversation. Now, Tina, how much Chinese do you think you speak in Chinglish in the play?
How much Chinese do I speak?
Counted which lines, you know,
that I counted,
you're in English?
But there's huge chunks of Mandarin. There's an entire scene.
I know,
in
you've got two monologues that are completely,
completely in
Mandarin.
Yeah, it was really challenging because I'm not really fluent in Mandarin.
You're not?
I am not.
Oh my!
She
goodness.
Learned it for this. She learned it all.
No, I know
this.
A little.
Yes.
I know.
Yes,
I know
true.
A little bit, but very little.
So,
almost like a 5-year old. And I studied it for a long time.
So you know as much as I do then.
Probably.
And now you know so much more. Do you think?
I mean, I know words now that I didn't know before. I don't know that I would.
You had
ever
an immersion,
it, like,
immersion
dirty old
experience.
Man,
oh no!
I am pervert.
Right. Not something you learn in a Chinese class anyway.
Right.
Usually. Well, so that is fascinating because, you know, because my ear is tuned to Mandarin. Mm-hmm. I'm half Taiwanese, so I can hear, you know, the language and recognize certain words. But your accent, I heard from several people, was pretty darn good.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. In fact, my companion thought that you were from Taiwan. So
my tutor was Taiwanese.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So you have really learned. That's awesome. So I'm kind of blown away that you admitted that you did. So really, you have really, this is the first time. That was my next question. But this is the first time you've really spoken Chinese in a play then.
In a play, yes.
Wow. Yeah. How is that? How does your brain differ? Oh, you know, when you're working in one language and then another.
I don't even know. You know, May and I have had this conversation. She's like, how are you doing it? Like, do you think first in English or is it? And I was like, now it feels like magic. Like, I'm thinking of the thought in English and somehow the words are coming out. It is terrifying. I mean, each time, it's like, if I forget my lines, I can't come
There's
up with
There's nobody
anything.
That can really cover for you either, is there?
I don't know. You mean like in the play?
Like Peter can't really prompt you. Well, this is what you're supposed to say.
I can't prompt her in English either.
What a challenge.
But I mean, I have some background. I went to a Chinese school. I grew up in the Philippines, and I went to a Chinese school. So I can read some characters, and I know the tones. And I also spent a summer in Beijing as an adult because I wanted to really be able to speak the language. I felt like I wasted my parents' money going to Chinese school. And
so
didn't take it seriously. Like, I didn't want to study it. I just felt like, what is the point of this? And so there is some background.
Yeah.
It's not
I'm sure.
You know,
no. I'm sure it's like your brain cells are going, I remember this part and I remember that.
Certain words.
Yeah. Well, what a challenge for you. So you've had like this immersion experience here, intense, in working on Chinglish and being able to act in Mandarin. So Peter, do you feel like you've learned some Chinese?
Everybody's learned Dirty Old Man.
Oh, no.
Because we have some...
And don't say it.
No. There's some intimacy in the play, so we're having some fun with that.
Because, good.
I've learned yes and no and thank you. And, you know, we have a friend in the cast who only speaks Mandarin, which is amazing, Jin. And we're having a lot of fun with him and wanted to keep him included. Of course, we have a translator in the room, but we want to keep him included. So even a little bit helps. But then again, the nonverbal communication with him and others has really kind of made the rehearsal experience somewhat, to use a pretentious word, meta, towards, you know, in terms of what all our characters are doing together in the play. So it's been really fun.
One of the exercises we did in the rehearsal process was we had a scene that you're going to hear later in the show. We were rehearsing for it, and I gave the actors a homework assignment, which was to directly translate from Jin, who plays Minister Tsai's, a story that he's telling, and directly translate it in English, which is, of course, is an impossible task because Peter doesn't speak any Mandarin and Jin doesn't speak any English. And so we had that direct, it was like another play. Basically,
it was like charades with gibberish to the listener.
There's a lot of ways to speak. There's a lot of ways to communicate, and that's a lot of what this play is about too. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the characters, and Tina, in talking with David Henry Wong for his interview, he said there was some controversy actually about your character, Xi'an. Some Chinese nationals thought she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't have an affair, you know, especially a Chinese official wouldn't have an affair with a foreigner like this. And yet it happened.
It happened, right?
With the Bo Xilai case, right. You know. I don't know if people know about that, but there was an official who was actually convicted, was the wife of an official was convicted for murdering a British businessman who was rumored, you know, they were rumored to have had an affair. So, I was wondering about the role itself, though, even regardless of the sort of mirroring real life. It's such a great written role for a woman, isn't it?
I mean,
how do you like Xi'an?
Oh, I love her. I mean, as soon as I read the script, I fell in love with her character. The first time I read this play, I'm like, I would love to play this, but I don't think I ever could.
Oh,
and
really?
I am so grateful to Maya Drawless for having faith in me, because I just thought, because of the language demands, I wouldn't be able to do it. But character-wise, I mean, as an Asian American actor, it's so rare to have the opportunity to have such a meaty role to really sink your teeth into. And she's great, you know, she's smart and funny and sexy. And you know, with the whole Bo Xilai case that you're talking about, I just feel like there's, you know, some kind of image maybe that they're trying to protect and saying that she would never do something like this. But I think it makes her, very interesting and very complicated to have that kind of shame of having an affair with a foreigner, but and have that love story and have it be real love, but also have complicated views on marriage, and that is very different from how Daniel views love and marriage.
Oh, it's such a complex character. And your relationship is so complex. And I really feel a lot of empathy for Daniel. I think he's a very sympathetic character in that he never knows really what's going on, does he? He really doesn't.
It certainly doesn't feel that way.
I mean, everything's a discovery for him.
Every time he thinks he does, he's quickly humbled. And I think that's a lot of maybe, for me, some of the symbology here in terms of America and its place in the world and what we have to learn is Daniel's a good representative for that.
Well, I think it goes beyond the fish out of water, too. I think there's a lot more in there that he is really trying to grasp at so much. And there's, of course, some desperation in that grasping, but he really is making a huge effort.
He's trying his best. And he has a history. His life has been very successful up until now, or recently, we should say, and not to give anything away. But he learns a lot. And even at the end, you know, it's funny that we're early in the process of shows, but it's fun to think. You find yourself thinking about what happens to these people after we leave them at the curtain call, you know? And that's interesting, too. What do they do with that which they've learned when they go forward?
Well, I think it gives people a lot to think about, personally. So you have this relationship as your two characters. Do you have a scene for us that you could perhaps do? You want to introduce it?
I think May, you want to introduce it?
This is their first private meeting as Xi'an, the Vice Minister of Culture, and Daniel, an American entrepreneur.
And we're going to play some background music underneath there, too.
Okay. You're English.
So?
I didn't realize until the end of the meeting that you speak English.
I live outside China for 6 years. Six months outside there for study.
You lived abroad?
Study the English.
In the States?
Huh?
You lived in the States?
No.
Because you seem to know something about Cleveland. So where did you live?
Here, Guiyang.
No, before, when you lived abroad.
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka?
Foreign exchange student.
Great. Well, I really appreciate this opportunity, Ms. Xi, to sit down one-on-one, clear up any misunderstanding that hangs over...
Too fast speed.
Sorry.
Only two, so therefore talking, not so much necessary.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Also very, sleepy. Sleepy? Sleeping? Sleeper.
You're sleepy?
You sleepy.
I'm sleepy.
When so fast the words. Sleepy.
Before talking business, we should order, don't you think? Order, food...
I order the past.
You already ordered?
Yes.
Good. No need for me to...
Huangzhang!
Guazhang! I'm trying.
Jinzaogao.
Ms. Xi, Vice Minister, the fact that Minister Cai sent you instead of coming himself, I gotta say, I read something into that. Something not so good, but... I believe we can get past that. Right?
听不懂.
Wow. Okay. Minister Cai.
Cai.
He seems friendly to my proposal.
Proposal?
My deal for my company to make the English signs for the cultural center.
Yes.
Deal.
Yes.
Cai.
Yes.
He likes.
No.
Cai does not like my deal?
Yes. 是这样的。你以为他喜欢你的建议? 其实你弄错了,是他派我来这里的,才有现在这奇怪的场面。Okay,
I have a very strong feeling what you said to me is really important, so please repeat in English.
Such sleepy. You believing, Cai, your deal has friendly. No, Cai disassemble.
Disassemble?
起码英语听得懂吧?
That was awesome. That was awesome. Of course, I understand Ting Budong, which means I don't understand you. I'm Dimay Roberts. You're listening to Stage and Studio. We're talking about Chinglish. We just heard a scene from Tina Chilip and Peter O'Connor from Chinglish, and it's directed by May Adralis. And they're all getting ready for the opening. They're doing previews this week, and they're opening on Friday. And that opens on January 17th and runs through February 9th at Portland Center Stage. And the play is by Tony Award-winning playwright David Henry Wong. And showtimes are 7:30 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 7:30 p.m. evenings on, all evenings, and on select Sundays and Saturday matinees at 2 p.m. And there's some Thursday matinees at noon. And Chinglish is recommended for ages 16 and over. It has some mature content, so just be aware of that. For more info, visit pcs.org or call the box office at 503-445-3700. And I have all of that info at stageandstudio.org. In the time remaining, I was just wondering, you're all from New York, right? Are you all from New York, from
yes.
New York City? So what are the opportunities there like now? Is theater getting, you know, very vibrant? You know, everybody's always looking for work. And I especially want to know, too, you know, how is Asian American theater doing there? I know David is opening his new play at Signature Kung Fu, but, you know, beyond that, is there a lot of work for Asian American actors?
No.
You know, I hate to ask that because, you know, I was aware of the AAPAC.
APAC, the Asian American Performers.
Thank you,
Artist
Coalition. Oh, Action Coalition.
And you know their study they did by themselves about, you know, something like 2% of Asian American actors.
2006 to 2011, only 2%
got work.
Of roles in
yeah.
Broadway and off Broadway, major off Broadway theaters, went to Asian actors. And I think the year after that, 2011 to 2012 was, it went up to 3%, but that was the year they did Chinglish. so it's not a lot. I mean, we have a very strong, tight-knit Asian American theater community that, you know, May and I are part of, and I'm grateful for it. It's very supportive, and it gives a lot of untested, unknown Asian actors a chance to develop themselves as artists. But outside of that, in mainstream American theater, I think it's really difficult.
Mm-hmm. How is it for directing, May?
Well, I think directors sort of operate differently because since we're behind the scenes, you know,
you have a little bit more leeway.
Right. But I do think it's a responsibility of casting directors and directors to actually really open up their minds about what they imagine a role to be. And so I'm very insistent with every single casting process that I do that I have a wide range of actors. Just in terms of ethnic diversity.
I think it's opening your mind, isn't it? It's
exactly.
Opening your mind to
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
And does that mean that, you know, I mean, you both have to travel, all of you kind of have to travel a lot anyway out of New York City, right? Because mm-hmm. you go where the work is.
Sure.
Do you find that you're on the road quite often, like for this play?
Well, we're loving being here. So this is really fun. This town is, the people here are so genuine and open. So this has been kind of like a dream. We haven't left our neighborhood much. Working a lot, but
is Portland getting a reputation for being a great place for actors to work
yes,
in?
Yes, particularly the center stage. We are being taken so well care of.
Yeah.
We're loving it.
They're amazing.
But I like to go on the road. I like to go on the road personally. I don't know about you guys. I like to leave the city.
I do too. It's nice to just focus on the work and really bond.
You don't have any other distractions because you're really living the work right now.
That's exactly right.
So I was wondering what's after Chinglish? What are you doing?
We have a short break and then we go to Syracuse. Oh, sorry. After Chinglish? Well, we do some more Chinglish in Syracuse, New York.
Oh, so you are. So this is going on the road.
It is.
Oh,
well,
just to Syracuse.
Co-production, yeah.
Oh, I did not realize that. Okay. So you're going to be living this play for another couple months then.
Until St.
Huh?
Patrick's Day. Yeah.
you got the date. All right.
Well,
yeah.
Tina's also going to be in a show in San Francisco.
After Chinglish, I'll be going to Berkeley Rep to do Tony Kushner's Intelligent Homosexuals Guide to Capitalism, Socialism, and...
Don't you love these
key
long titles?
It's very long.
Just say Tony Kushner's new play. That's well, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. And so, May, you have a couple projects coming up too, don't you?
Yeah, actually, right after this opens, I go to Cleveland Playhouse to work on a Daniel Beatty play called Breath and Imagination. And then as soon as that opens, I go to Syracuse and put these guys in.
Oh, there you go. So you're going to see each other. There'll be a reunion after this. It's kind of nice to
that's
look
right.
forward to, isn't it? Because it's always so sad after a show. It's like,
that's
I don't know when I'll see you
yeah,
again.
Yeah, that's true.
It's nice to have a little bit of a reunion there and have some time to think about your characters after,
that's right.
you know, the first run. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Right. Well, it's great to have you here. Chinglish by David Henry Hwang runs through February 9th on the main stage at the Girding Theater at the Armory, and find out more at pcs.org or stageandstudio.org, where you can hear this show again. And check out my feature on David Henry Hwang on Oregon Arts Watch. That's orartswatch.org or stageandstudio.org, where you can hear his interview. And also check out a special Skype talk with David himself next Tuesday, January 21st, 6:30, right before the Tuesday evening performance of Chinglish. And I'm directing a free reading of one of Hwang's first plays, The Dance on the Railroad, with Heath Hewn Houghton and Samson Searoth on Monday, January 27th at 7 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. So I just want to say personally, everybody, go see this play. It's fantastic, and it rarely happens that we have a play like this with you know, an Asian American cast and an Asian American playwright professionally done in Portland. So see Chinglish. Maya Drawless, Tina Chillip, and Peter O'Connor. It's so great to meet all of you, and thanks for joining us. Break legs.
Thank you.
Break legs. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to Janet Anderson, my engineer. And if you missed the show, visit stageandstudio.org. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with more music from Chinglish.